You're listening to season 6 of Upside Down Podcasts. This is Lindsay Wallace.
I'm Kayla Craig.
I'm Patty Taylor.
And I'm Elisa Molina. Upside Down Podcast is an ecumenical conversation at the intersection of justice, spirituality, and culture.
And we have created this space with you in mind.
So join us for unscripted conversations on God's Upside Down Kingdom. Welcome to Upside Down Podcast. I'm Patricia, or Patty Taylor, and I will be our host for today's episode. This is the second of our 4 final episodes in which we take some time to get to know the co-hosts behind the scenes. Today, I and the others will be questioning our dear Elisa about a variety of things, both personally and as it relates to the podcast. This podcast has meant so much to all of us, and this opportunity to go deeper with one another means so much. Hopefully you have already heard our last episode when the one and only Lindsay Wallace was on the hot seat. So let's go ahead and jump right in. But before we get to the questions, Elisa, I really want to share that you are someone who has left an indelible mark on my life. And I'm so grateful that the podcast brought us together. Elisa often jokes about being the old lady in the group, and all of us roll our eyes when she says that. But what is true is the wisdom that you bring, Elisa. Like, it pushes and challenges, and it exhorts and encourages me. And I'm sure that all of us, you know, can say the same thing. You just do it in such a deep and meaningful way that it's irreplaceable. It's like, how can you not be impacted? You know, when Elisa gets to preaching, it's like, okay, yes, I'm sitting up, I'm listening, I'm here. And also, you're just so strong in your convictions. And I think that you just do such a wonderful job of pointing us back to hope, like reminding us of, like, whatever's happening in the chaos of the world, which is constant, that Christ is Christ, you know, that God is still on the throne, that, you know, God is faithful, and just, you encourage me to hold on to that hope. And I just want you to know that you've left a lasting impression.
So, well, Patty, I
appreciate you, Lisa.
I don't think I was ready for that. We were out of town visiting family, and we drove in last night, and I knocked out, and I don't think I was ready. My heart really needed that. My heart needed that this morning. So, Patty, thank you so much for that.
Of course. It's the truth and nothing but the truth.
It is. It is the truth.
So we have some questions, and some of them, for fun, like, you'll hear similar or the same questions that each of us are going to answer. And then we'll get to some rapid fire questions. So Kayla and Lindsay, feel free to jump in at any time, but we're going to go ahead and ask this first question. Elisa, you started as a co-host the season before I did. And I'm wondering, in nearing the completion of 3 seasons, how have you grown and changed since joining Upside Down Podcast? Like, you've shared so much, and it's been incredibly inspiring to hear, like, how Upside Down was, like, the first podcast you listened to, and then you became a host. And I'm just wondering, like, how do you think that you've grown, whether that's just been in perspective shifts, faith changes, your activism work? Talk to me about that. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this over the drive home. And I realized that, you know, I was baptized Catholic as a little wee baby. And so that means I've been Catholic for 44 years. And there have been moments of my Catholicism that have been kind of these pivot points where, you know, the questioning and the wondering that we do in our faith journeys, you know, there's these moments that you can look back and you think, okay, well, that was when this happened, or that was when I came to know this better. And I really think that, you know, Upside Down has been for me one of those massive pivot points. You know, it drew me in. Sorry. It drew me in a time where I was really questioning and wondering where our Catholic faith was showing up in the spaces of justice and just in the everyday social makeup of our country. And that's when it drew me in. And it really, as a listener and then as a co-host, really gave me some really great questions and things to hold up my faith to and say, like, where does this land? Like, what are you telling me, church? And so it forced me to take what has formed me in so many ways and ask these questions that we were asking here in this space and hold my faith up to it and figure out where the two, if they aligned, how they aligned, where they aligned. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of these things where I was like, you guys, this place forced me to go ask some questions and find answers and keep pushing till I found those answers. And those answers have actually given me new life in my faith, new strength in my faith, has helped me to embrace my Catholicism even more than I did before, because it gave me the language. I call it the language of love in society. Right. So as a Catholic, worship is really important. Right. And going to Mass every Sunday is really important. But one of the things that happens at Mass, at every Mass, at the end, we are told to go. And so we have this beautiful time together. And then the last thing that is said at Mass is to go and to live the gospel by your life. That's what we're told. Right. And so Upside Down gave me the questions of the heart that forced me to go see how I'm going beyond the space of worship. And so I did a lot of digging and I found Catholic social teaching. And now I feel like I have the language of love in society. So I have the both and, right? I have this every Sunday, I have this incredible worship experience. And then also I have the language to go out. And I don't think I would have come to that language had it not been for Upside Down. So revolutionary. This has changed me in a revolutionary type way, in the best ways.
That's incredibly powerful, Elisa. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask what you just said. Like, do you think it would have happened, you know, without Upside Down? And you just said no. And that's a lot to take in, you know? Do you think that there were specific episodes or topics that we covered that specifically had you in that space or that place of like asking those questions and prompted you to want to do more, to go forth and do?
I think the topics and the guests that really showed, you know, how much God loves everybody. Those topics and those guests who helped me to really see how wide and how vast God's love is, and how much God can use all sorts of people to help us know God better. I think that was, it could have been anybody from Latasha Morrison to Andre just recently. These folks that just like the amount of love and wisdom that infuses kind of everything that they do, like this kind of all in approach to the kingdom. Even like Justin Roberts, that episode when, and Scott the Painter, when they were both together, just this idea. I think for me as a Catholic, we tend to be kind of niche. And so our wisdom and the things that we kind of, because there's so much of it, there's so many saints, there's so much writing, there's so much theology, we tend to kind of just, we kind of just go where the wisdom, where we're used to getting wisdom, because there's so much of it. And I think the guests and have opened me up to just these other areas of beauty, what is true and good and beautiful, right? And so any number of these folks have kind of opened my eyes to the fact that there are so many places to experience God. Yes, there are so many places I experience God within my Catholicism, but I think that these guests have opened me up to understand that God is not, you know, a tiny God, like we talk about all the time here, right? God is just beyond the scope of our comprehension. And so this this podcast has given me all of these pathways to the heart of God, all of these places to walk toward God that I would have never found. I think that Scott specifically, like during the Lenten season, you know, with everything that he does, with the stations of the cross, right? This is not a Catholic. Mm-hmm. He's not Catholic, but I'm mm-hmm. like, whoa, this man is sort of Catholic because this is all like this, it just dives so deeply and so profoundly. You know, Catholics are a lot about, the senses, like what you smell and what you see and what you hear. And he has specifically been one of those people that has just drawn me deeper into the mysteries of God. You know what I mean? And so we've had so many people like that that have shown me first just the humanity of Christ and the love of God beyond these walls, but also just have influenced my own personal Catholic faith through their art and their, I mean, Kayla's book, right? It's like, you know, oh, she did one on Holy Thursday. Here it is right here. You know what I mean? So it was the gift of like expanse, right? This was like an expanse.
I love that phrase. Which is really the gift beautiful of expanse. For me.
Oh, I know. I was just about to say the same thing. That needs to be a quote.
Yes. There it is. Yes. Elisa, I need to talk with you like at least twice a month just so I can get these gems in my life, even when we're not recording. Like, I need this. Put it in my veins.
Yeah, let's do it. It would be just as good for me as it would be for you.
The gift of expanse. This is what I'm talking about. Lisa, just be preaching. I think that what, oh gosh, like you just said, like we talk about often, God is not a tiny God, but still, like from whatever our faith traditions or backgrounds are, it can be, like we still see what we see and recognize what we recognize and have certain, you know, experiences that we just come from. So to be able to expand is really, you know, what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So within that, was there anything that we didn't talk about or didn't have a chance to explore that you would have loved to have gone there?
I think what has been really for the listeners out there, I know that it can look like there isn't. So I think that if you listen to the four of us, you could think that it's not true that we are so respectful and loving of each other's experiences, but this is true. Like the fact that this is ecumenical and respectful and loving and full of curiosity and not not judgment has been the part of this that has been incredibly life-changing for me, because you say that everybody says that we want to see this in the world, but we actually did it for this many years, right? And so I think I would have liked to have more conversations modeling that ecumenical nature. You know, maybe some learning sessions where I know we did one where we talked about like kind of the different faith backgrounds, but I think I would have liked to see that, have experienced that more kind of on mic versus in our private group, just because I think this is so desperately needed in our time, in our space, for people to see, you know, these three women know that I am deeply Catholic and that I love my faith. And they see it, they recognize it, they honor it. They know that there are parts of the faith that either they don't agree with, they don't understand, it's not their vibe, it's not... But they see it in me and they know it's a part of me and they treasure it in me. And and I think that we model that so beautifully. And I honestly think that once this is finished, that there will be a lack. Maybe it's just that I haven't seen or heard this in another space where there's people who really come from very different faith backgrounds and traditions when it comes to the Christian faith and how that is played out, right? And but I just think that just the fact that we're willing to see one another's faith and to be like, I'm gonna take for me what's beautiful for me in my life, and I'm going to implement that in my own personal life. What the beauty I see over there, and the way that the three of them, you know, the way that Lindsay like says, like, there's not a safe place for my entire family. That she said that last time, and she said that before. Then that what I said to myself after we recorded that was, okay, what does that look like at St. Louis, King of France, in Austin, Texas, where I've been a parishioner since I was 17 years old? Mm-hmm. What does it look like for me as a parishioner there to look around and look at families like Lindsay's family and fix that? Right? So if I don't have that conversation, if I don't have a Lindsay Wallace in my life, then I am not looking around. Where are we missing a Lindsay Wallace? Because every place should have a Lindsay Wallace. Every place should have a Malachi. You know what I mean? Like, this is true, because this is that expanse that we're talking about, the expanse of God. St. Louis is lacking then, if I'm not looking around, right? So I think that the fact that we really, truly in love and in humility came to the table and said, your faith is beautiful. I may not get it, and I may not necessarily like parts of it, but it makes you who you are, and it makes you want to go out and be upside down within the confines, or like the bumper, I always call it like the bumper, like when you go bowling and they put the bumper things out for the kids. It, you know, within that, what does it look like to be about the things that we talk about here with the guests that we talk to? How do I make that happen? What Andre is talking about in terms of hope, like, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At St. Louis, King of France.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wish we would have talked more about our personal faith a little bit more, but man, we were trying to get all that wisdom in. So, I mean, so man, and I grew from all that wisdom. So, you know.
Yeah, we did. We tried to jam a lot in, mm-hmm. but
it's so beautiful. Yeah. It's so beautiful, Lisa. And you know, like, without you, Patty and Lindsay and I, we're coming from different backgrounds and traditions and experiences, but like, you are bringing this whole experience that you have had as mm-hmm. a Catholic woman, and this podcast wouldn't have been the same. And I think you have brought your personal faith into every single episode. Like, just like what Patty was saying at the beginning, like, you are this important thread that is like tying this all together and creating this beautiful tapestry of faith, and of many different faiths rooted in Christ. And it's so beautiful. And like, just as somebody who has got to walk alongside you from afar through these conversations on and off the mic, like, my faith is more expansive because of your faith. And like, when I don't have the words to pray, and like, I'm like, is God even listening to my prayer? I know I can go to my friend Elisa, and she is going to put some like big Catholic energy up in here and like pray. and it is like, I feel it, you know, like it matters.
I'm going to be looking up like every last saint that has to do with whatever that is. All right.
Right.
That's the realest though. That's the realest. I mean, not in our group of four, but you know, we all know that feeling when we're like, we need prayer, and then we don't know if people are actually praying, but we know Elisa is praying. She is petitioning. Yes. She is like, I am warring with the angels on your behalf. Like, let's go. You know? And it's like, oh my gosh, you know? And I remember, like, this is, I think when I, this had been early on, like when I first joined, and you asked us about people who we've lost to honor them. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, what if I was in the place where, a lot of people I know were like, oh, okay, well, Catholics, they do this stuff. And this, you know, like, I mean, just being real, you know, but that meant so much. Sure. Like, that meant so much. I was like, oh my gosh, like, she wants to honor the people who meant so much to us. And that there was like no question, like, if I did not have like this relationship with you and for us to talk about these things, then, you know, I could easily also be in that category of being like, well, I just heard about this, or I just heard they do this, and I just don't know how I feel about that, you know. Right. But when you actually meet people, know people, talk to people, and you understand, like, this is who they are, and this is what's formed them and shaped them, and it's beautiful, then I'm just so grateful to have that, you know, connection here.
Yeah, and I mean, to Elisa's point, we have had a lot of these conversations off the mic, and wrestled through some things over the years. And I just think everyone listening should know that Elisa takes her earrings off when she prays for you. That's how serious.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Can we get that on like a cross stitch or something?
I say that is like another slogan. T-shirts made.
I'm getting like one of those wooden panels that, you know, hangs over your kitchen table. Elisa takes her.
No live, laugh, love for Elisa. Move over. No hashtag blessed.
Oh, true that.
No. And I say that to say, like, you, you know, I think we've expanded one another. And so to know that, like, I mean, I was crying when you were just talking about the way that you go back to your church, and think about my family. And I think, like, everyone also needs someone who's going to take their earrings off for you and go to bat. Mm-hmm. So we all need that as well. So I'm just really grateful that you have been that in my life for these past few years.
You know, hearing you guys say that means so much. My maternal grandfather and I are very, very close, and my mom recently, 2 or 3 years ago, moved him to her house, which is just on the other side of our neighborhood. And while we were out of town, we got the phone call that he needs to enter hospice. So he's in his final hours today and tomorrow probably. And I just, you know, when you think of hashtag goals when it comes to your spiritual life, he is just, he's just a very, very faithful man, but he doesn't wear his faith is not a weapon, you know? And so when I try to emulate the folks in my life who are deeply faithful in their Catholicism or in their faith, but that it draws people in and it never serves to shame or hurt people. And I think we've all seen people of all sorts of backgrounds that are like, they wield their faith as a weapon, you know? So to hear that she's going to go to battle for you, but that's a good, you know what I mean? Like, that's a thing that is, it's based in like a strength of love and a strength of love for another. Yeah. That's a, you know, that just turns that idea on its side, that you can take your earrings off in a way that is helpful and that is life-giving, rather than shaming or hurting. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
You do it. I think about when you said, like, you go to Mass and then it's like this part where you're like, okay, now go. Like, this conversation right now, I feel like, is giving us and giving our listeners permission to go, to like embody that faith. And thank you for modeling that.
Yeah. And definitely we're praying for you and your family during this time as well, Elisa. You may have touched on this a bit and just even what you just said, but if you could think like 5 years down the road, where would you want or hope to see your church, your faith, your community? Like, what do you hope for yourself in 5 years from now?
You know, I think that you guys were part of a discernment process I stopped working for my parish. I was working part-time there in youth ministry for over a decade. And then the pandemic hit and it was already time for me to really say goodbye to that, because now I have my own teens. So to love their teens and not love my own. So I went ahead and just left that space to love my own teenagers. And in that time, I just we were doing this, and I just realized that there are some spaces that I think that I have been given enough knowledge and experience in to then take kind of into those spaces that I see a little bit of a gap. And so I've started actually a nonprofit media organization called From Here, because I really care about what do we do from this point to the next point, which is essentially heaven. Like, where do we go from here as a church, as a people, as a community, in a lot of different spaces? And how do we do that with a sense of accompaniment, right? Where we walk alongside people instead of kind of this, you know, I find a lot of spaces where it's almost like a, I made it and I'm going to tell you how to make it. Upside Down was one of those places in my life where it was like, ain't nobody got nothing figured out. We all kind of trying to stumble around day by day. Love Jesus as best we can and love people as best we can. And so in that, you know, I spent probably 6 to 8 months really, you guys know how I love words, really, really like writing thousands of mission statements for this organization. And at the end of the day, the mission statement is that we're an organization that encourages love of God, neighbor, and self. So, you know, that's where it is, right? Like, so I want to see, you know, in 5 years, I want to see a church that's better at the going out of the doors. And I want to, not only do I want to see a church that's better at the going, but I want to be an avenue by which we get better at the going, right? Because we're good at loving God. We are really, really good. We just had the Triduum, which in the Catholic Church are the three high, holiest days. And we did it well. We did all those days really well. We were present. The first Easter Mass on Sunday evening is a vigil and it is lights out, right? We did that well. So I want to step into the going so that in 5 years, there are more places where we can turn and say, those Catholics, they really love their neighbor. And I also want us to have permission to love ourselves, to know that we cannot love neighbor if we do not have a strong sense of self. So in 5 years, I just want to give, and this organization is primarily lay led, which means it's not led by priests. It's not led by religious. And so this is me looking around and seeing how ultimately incredible the regular folk are and how wise they are and how diverse they are and how much their voices need to be amplified, not just for the sake of being amplified, but because we can learn from them, right? Like I've learned from a Lindsay, I've learned from a Patty, I've learned from a Kayla, and these are not, mm-hmm. You guys are not currently the heads of any churches, right? You are the regular folk doing the thing, right? And there are lots of Catholic organizations out there that are doing the thing, but I really want to draw out and shine the light on just regular old abuelitas that are in their, you know, homes, you know, making meals and breaking bread. Why are we not really showing up and showing out these forces of nature that are out there that have actually, that are wisdom figures because of what they've been through, what they've come to? Because regular people help regular people keep going, I think, is what has been my experience, right? Like you mm-hmm. over there, like trying to keep on in this journey, you're the one that's making me keep going, right? And so to amplify that is going to be hopefully my life's work mm-hmm. underneath being a mom. Like, yeah, that's always first, but you know, then that am I. In my off time.
Mm.
Ooh, I came ready with that answer and I didn't even know.
Yeah, that's yeah. I was going to say you were prepared.
It's like you've been thinking about it for a while, writing tons of mission statements.
Yeah. It coalesced. Guys, 10:38 my time, it finally coalesced in my brain. Like, what you been doing, girl? Oh, this is what you've been doing, girl. Okay.
Okay, but can you unpack what From Here like is?
Yes.
For our people that are listening? Yes.
Yes. So the mission is for it to do those things, right? To encourage the love of God, neighbor, and self, but through specifically online, print, and in-person offerings, right? So there's going to be – so you guys inspired me to do like a 12-week podcast series. Like it happened probably a year ago called Universal Voices. And that was kind of – there were like these little steps that led to this big thing. And Universal Voices was this thing where I did 12 episodes of just – beautiful lay Catholics sharing what they had a heart for. So like, you know, a heart for, there was one priest, my priest friend, Will, he did a heart for story, but there was this one chick that I had met, Hannah. She is becoming a doctor, but she also has, part of her studies is in public health. So to know that there's going to be a Catholic doctor out there, but who is studying public health and how she's learning about racism and all that, and how that will inform how her faith and this public health will inform how she cares for her patients. Whoa, man, blown away. And that was one episode. And I was just like, everybody needs to meet Hannah and the way that what she's doing influences the way she's loving her neighbor that isn't necessarily Catholic, right? So the things that we put out, that was, you know, the podcast, but then there's a publication on Catholic social teaching, because a lot of adults and even kids don't know that the Catholic Church has this big old book. It's thick and huge. And it's like, look, this is how you go and love society. So that was like another seed that was planted that I started. And I was like, oh, this is all under an umbrella. I need to find an umbrella for all of these things. And so Common Horizon is a publication that's about to be on its last issue. And it, you know, it's giving Catholics, oh, how do we care for creation? How do we stand in solidarity? How, that was another theme. How do we give preferential love of the poor and the vulnerable? How do we prefer? Christ preferred, he gave special attention and love to the poor and the vulnerable. So why ain't we doing that? Why? How? Where are we doing that? You know, Dorothy Day.
I wish Dorothy everybody Day. Could see Elisa right now, because like she just did this like dance. It was so like spirit inspired. It. Like she is yeah, here
she's
for
spicy
it.
About it. She yeah. turned her head like, what aren't we
isn't
doing
embodied?
This?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So it's mainly, to answer your question a little bit more concisely, it's mainly online, print, and in-person offerings that will help us love God, neighbor, and self, basically. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So upside down listeners, follow
yeah,
that.
From here sessions. Sessions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do it now. Love our way. Do it now.
And you don't have to be Catholic, right? Like no. your focus group is Catholic, but for everybody.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. If Upside Down taught me anything, it's that like, man, there is some wisdom all over the place to be learning from.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So Elisa, I want you to like move your shoulders, get ready for these rapid fire questions. Okay. But before we do, is there anything else like From Here Sessions? And you have already shared, you know, some of your future thoughts and plans, but yeah. Is there anything else about like what's next for you that you want to share that's coming up and that we should know about and our listeners
I'm
should know
running
about?
For, talk about activism. I'm running for school board in my community.
Woohoo! Wish we could all vote for you.
May 7th. I actually am looking at the most biggest sign. I'm sitting in a room that there's just this ginormous sign that says vote Molina, and my face is nobody's face should be that big, but it is on the side. So but anyway, is. May 7th, I'm just going to say this really quickly. I am super proud. Like the one thing that I'm super proud of in this campaign, first of all, I felt good about putting my name in the hat, because for school board, you don't have to claim a party. So since I'm an independent, that was awesome, because you don't have to run as under any party. And then secondly, I decided early on that I was going to try to earn a vote from every single either a parent or a teacher from every single school. So our community has 21 elementary schools. I want to say
that's huge.
6 or 7 middle schools, and then 4 high schools. And I've got all but 4 right now. So, So when we say, and this is what
wow,
I said,
we're so surprised, Alisa. So surprised.
When you say everybody at the table, when you say everybody at the table, you got to mean it. And that means that you got to ask people at front, you got to ask people that are not necessarily people that are in like your wheelhouse or care about the mm-hmm. things. They might care about like the absolute opposite things. But if we're going to get anything done, right, everybody, even the ones that you know what I mean? So it's been really beautiful to see more people do this, come together. That's another thing coming up on May 7th. You guys can, if you're the praying kind, you can be that God's will be done. My daughter asked me, Mom, are you going to be sad if you lose? I said, no, it's a volunteer position. And also you don't get paid. And also it's like thousands of hours, but I discerned it for 2 years. So if I win, Jesus is going to be like, I have work for you to do in this space. And if I lose, Jesus is going to say, girl, what you thinking? So either way, the next day I'm going to see Coldplay. So
woo,
win, lose.
There we go. And you're definitely winning.
Okay, so here, this is a call that we have for all listeners. If you wear earrings, take them off right now. Pause this episode and go pray for Alisa.
God's will be done, y'all. God's will be done. Don't be praying that I win or lose. Just God's will.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. Rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for these? Okay, we're gonna go fast.
Are you saying
fast.
Rapid fire because you're like, Alisa, one word, not 17 words for every.
No, okay. I'm saying it because you're the one who wrote the outline and called them rapid fire questions.
Okay. I forgot what they are. Okay, go. I'm ready.
Okay, but this one actually is the one word you'd want people to use to describe your character.
Passionate.
Love that. Okay. You have 1 hour to kill at home. What do you do with that 1 hour?
Stress out about what I'm going to do for 1 hour.
Okay. Do not be surprised if I say that exact same answer. That is the truest
and then
thing.
5 minutes and lament that I stressed out that I didn't figure it out.
That's so relatable. Okay. So if you have 2 hours that you can spend outdoors, what terrain would you pick? Mountains, beach, something else? I don't know. Am I missing something?
Yeah.
There's a lot.
The Texas
swamp?
Coast. I don't know. South Padre Island. Yeah. The beach. Ooh, 100%. I need Lindsay Wallace to take me stand-up boarding.
Yes.
In her place. We stand-up board all the time, but it's on a lake here. So I'm going to need her to take me to do that one day before I die.
Yep. We'll do it.
Oh. Yeah, that's I love it. Kayla and I volunteer to go too. Okay, great.
I mean, I will be like, oh, there Kayla goes again. She's back in the water, and I'll just be like cheering you on.
I'm like, go team, but I'll be there. Okay, fill in this blank. If you hate me, you'd make me
wait in a line.
Blank. Oh,
wait in any line. all these people around me be taking their kids to Disneyland and I'd be like, nope. this is the deal I've made with the kids. I will take you guys when y'all are parents and I'm the grandma and I sit with all the stuff and the baby on a bench. I'd be so happy. That'd be my happy place.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I love that. Hey, we need a bench sitter and watcher of things. So
yes,
hey,
I'll do
when
it.
You know, when you know your role, you know. Yeah. What is one thing that you think could be considered quirky about you? Like, I don't know. Do you have something that you think is a little like?
I lose my debit card once a week. And somehow it's always either turned in or found. So
wow,
yeah, I'm really, really bad.
That is really funny.
I don't carry a purse because then not only my debit card would be gone, but all the contents within that.
Right.
So, yeah.
I thought you were going to say you lose it because you're always getting it out to do online shopping and then forgetting where you put it. Right.
No. Like, there have been times, y'all, where I have left it in a grocery cart. I've left my entire wallet in a grocery cart in, like, the little stall where you put return them. And I'd get home and I'd tell my husband. I'd look up and he'd be like, you left your wallet, because he's just so used to you left your wallet. And so I'll hightail it back and it's always there.
Wow.
He's like,
well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
What is the best thing? Yeah. What's the best thing you've ever binge watched? Or a recent thing. Or best thing.
Oh,
whichever.
I did the Inventing Anna Inventing Anna recently.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Elisa, okay. Johnny can do her accent.
No.
So well. I'll have him leave you a box.
Oh my gosh. I would keep it forever and ever and just play it on my really hard days. I'm be like, what can I do to feel better? Oh, I'm just going to go listen to Johnny. Yes. Her accent is like, what? How?
Like, yeah, for those of you who haven't listened, it's like German and Russian and like Valley Girl all at once. Like, I don't even know. It's this conglomeration of weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I was having a rough week and I was like, I've been hearing all about this. I'm just going to sit. And mm-hmm. I did. I just like didn't do any work for 2 whole days and I needed it.
Oh my gosh, that is great. I haven't seen it. I've heard a lot about it too, but just picturing Johnny doing German Russian Valley Girl is enough to hold me over for a while, yeah, yeah, I think. Yeah. Okay, what about adult you, which is you now. Yeah. How would adult you describe kid you?
I think adult me would describe kid me as a right hand to her mom. Like, she did a great job being a right hand to her mom. My parents divorced when I was 7 and I was the oldest. So she was, she was a good big sister and she was a good daughter. Yeah.
Mm. And how do you think kid you would describe adult you?
Hero. Yeah. I think she would be really, really happy that it all was okay. Yeah, for sure.
I love that. Is there, and I'm sure there are multiple, but is there a particular writer, thinker, activist, or leader that you feel just changed things for you?
I'm going to say Jesus for that one, because he really has asked me over and over to rethink things. So he was all of those things, I think, for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. One more rapid fire question. What is one word that describes this upside down experience for you?
Life-changing.
Hmm.
For sure.
Aww. Want to give you a hug.
I know.
Also, that's hyphenated, so we'll let you pass.
But. I was going to say, it's very Elisa to pick a word that is actually 2 words.
I hyphenated for you, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was. I heard it hyphenated, so yeah.
Thank
we'll let
you,
it pass.
Thank you. I mean, life-changing is better than
always,
great.
Always getting awesome. In those
great.
Extra words.
Yeah. Good. Great. Awesome. Super. You should have said it was super.
Super.
Yeah, super. Oh my goodness. Well, this was incredible. Like, I just feel like in the last, 40 minutes, I've learned more about you.
Yay!
And again, you've said more things and I'm like, well, I'll be thinking about that for a long time to come. So thank you for just showing up and being fully you, Elisa, and for making such a difference in our lives and and our listeners too. So, this has been incredible. We love you, Elisa.
Dude, two down, two to go. I'm excited.
Yes, yes. So there will be, for all of you who are listening and hanging with us to the end, there will be information on how to help us to keep all of the past episodes of Upside Down Podcast live so that we can keep the door open for future bonus episodes or, you know, who knows? You never know what may come. Until then, we can't wait to see you next time when we interview our next co-host, who just so happens to be me. So let me go and get ready.
And I'm ready.
And I'm ready. It's going to be good.
Yeah. I'm scared. No, I'm just kidding. And thank you, everyone, so much for listening.